stand till on Jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide.
Today, so thanks for joining those of you that are live, and for those that are going to watch later, we appreciate you just as much. But honestly, I just want to start this off with a quick intro into what we heard today. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there is a discussion going around that Steph Curry is now above LeBron James in the GOAT debate. So, Jay, and let's just start it off this way, okay? I think we all are on a, you know, like a similar wavelength here, but there are ways I think we can kind of branch off and determine, like, is this even a possibility, so-and-so. So, Jay, what are you thinking on this topic?
Well, the first thing is Steph is still playing. So the standard for greatness is winning, right? And that's what we've been talking about from the beginning of time, that winning is the most important thing. So the fact that Steph is still playing, he's still in the conversation to quite possibly be moved up on the all-time great list. However, when we're talking about him being better than LeBron, it gets a little tricky. And the reason why it gets tricky is because some things were manufactured in order for him to be in the position that he was in. Yeah, James was, there were some things that was manufactured for James as well. And I could go on and on, but in his particular situation, it's a little bit different. And the reason why it's a little bit different is because, let me explain. So we got three guys. We got Kevin Durant over here. We got Steph Curry over here. We got LeBron James here. So as LeBron James, I already beat you, right? So you can't talk to me yet. And this is Kevin Durant I'm talking to. I already beat you, so you can't talk to me, right? So your problem is in order to get back to me, you got to get through the gatekeeper. That would be this guy over here. That would be Steph Curry. So in the process of that, Steph and I are dealing with each other. He's beating me. Then I came back and beat him. You can't get to me unless you get through him. This is the classic case of can't beat him, join him. So what these two dudes say is, Kevin says to Steph, you can't beat him without me. And Steph says, you can't beat him without us. Let's get together. So essentially what you guys did was you guys jumped me, and in the process of jumping me and beating me, now, Steph Curry is better than me, which doesn't make much sense to me at all. When I look at everything that James did, when they built that unit around him, not only in Cleveland did they build that unit around him, with him getting on every team that he was on, he was the best player on the team. I do still think that he's better than Kevin Durant, but I do think that he needed him more than James needed what he needed. And I think Kevin Durant threw a monkey wrench in the entire process. And I'm having a difficult time with the logic that Steph Curry is better. I'm not even on the basketball player logic. I have such a difficult time. Tone, you are a big component of that basketball player logic. I'm not that, cause, and the reason why I'm not a big component of that is simply because when I hear better basketball player, that's just a fancy term for more talented. That's all that means, just more talented. And I've seen more talented guys get outplayed, and I don't get into that better basketball player logic. That doesn't work for me at all. When I think about what LeBron James has done and what he's meant to every team that he's been on, and the fact that throughout the entire decade, he's been that guy on a consistent basis, and how much he's delivered, I can't see a valid argument that Steph Curry is a better player than him. Or Steph Curry.
Jay, you're my guy. I just want to say, though, I never want to get directions from you, because this guy's got to go through that guy to get through that guy to get through this guy to get through that.
That's what happened.
I'm just, you got me.
That's the history buff in him.
if I was somebody else, I would say I have a friend, but I'm realistic. I have an acquaintance in Carolina, and he always says,
"Be the man. You gotta beat the man."
So that being said, has Steph Curry beaten the man? Yep. Has he lost to him? Yep. Did he get some help? Brought a better group of friends along and beat him a few more times? Yep. And if we're going by that logic, well, you can make a case. Hear me out before, because I'm not telling you my opinion yet. So, all right. So Steph Curry has beaten him in the finals. His team has beaten LeBron's teams. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's going to be debates which teams were better, which teams had more talent, injuries, those things. But at the end of the day, we know in 20, 30 years from now, people are going to look back and be like, all right, the Warriors played a LeBron James-led team 4 years in a row and won three of them. So when it gets close, they're going to shift over to Steph. They're going to look at Steph and say, well, offense matters to me more than anything else. I think he's the greatest shooter to ever exist. Okay. Well, he's got his finals MVP. He's the only unanimous regular season MVP ever. Now, we can make an argument there should have been more, or maybe he shouldn't have been one. Again, that's an argument. So if I was trying to make that case, if I had a Steph Curry agenda, there's enough there and the point to say, well, and there's more coming, to say that, hey, you know, because I don't focus on defense, well, where's his weakness in his game? He's a great three-point shooter, the greatest. He's a great mid-range shooter. He's a great finisher. He's a great free throw shooter. He's a great ball handler. He's a great playmaker. On the offensive end, he does everything great. Like, what is his weakness other than he's 6'3 and, I don't know, buck 90, whatever the heck he is, but he's getting it done. So if I wanted to make that case, well, I got the individual skill and talent, which I know you don't like. I've got the greatness. Like, I've got the check mark to say, is he the greatest to ever do something? Yes. Has he influenced the game? Check. Has he won rings? Check. Has he won finals MVPs now? Check. Has he won regular season MVPs? Check. Has he ever led the league in anything? Yep. Scoring, steals, right? Check. So if I were just a bookworm, I can go through a list of checks and be like, hey, and he's got the playoff record against him. Then LeBron comes to the West, right? Before, you could say, well, they only met in the finals. Then he comes to the West. LeBron gets one more, but then misses the playoffs twice. Gets knocked out in the first round another time. What did I do? Well, I was injured. Went nowhere. My team was injured. The second I got my squad back, won another chip. You can make that case. The problem with that logic is when you open your eyes and look at what this man has done for the last 20 years and you actually watch them play and don't just be a bookworm, you're going to start to be like, I don't know that I can make that case, right? Like LeBron James is arguably, in I would say 95% of the world, number one or two all time. This year is the first time we've ever had a discussion if Steph is even top 10, and it's still a discussion. Some have him in, some have him out. So to catapult him to basically to move him ahead of James, you have to make him one or two all time, depending on where you had James. That's a big leap. That's a big leap.
Well, let me ask you guys, because I mean, you're absolutely right, Flo. This is all new, just entering him into top 10. And now all of a sudden he's top he's over MJ and Bron now. Like, that's craziness. But I guess I posted a video just a little bit ago on my own account. But with all the knowledge that you both have, just watching both MJ and LeBron kind of elevate, what would you say, I guess, are the signs leading up to this? Because from what I can see, these are the same discussions that happened with MJ and LeBron, right? These were the things that kind of led up to them being part of the GOAT conversation. So what more does Steph have to do? And I know we've covered this, so really, really briefly, and is it even possible for him to get into that realm?
I would say the thing for me is, you know, you started off with a better question, right? You kind of said, where's this coming from? And where it's coming from is, let's be honest. LeBron has a year or two.
Yeah.
Curry probably has four or five. So the league, the media, that torch, that, you know, that fake torch needs to be passed to someone. And look, he's still got years left where he's probably going to win. And like, I look at what that squad, if they run it back, I look at how Wiseman is looking. Like that team, I know they lost Otto Porter and Gary Payton, and there's, you know, there's some pieces that they lost that make me a little nervous, but they have a great chance of coming back again. So he's kind of I think they need to have Curry as that guy to be like, hey, let's pass him the torch. Let's get him into that conversation, because the next group of people, you know, the Lucas, the Trays, the Jaws, the Anthony, the Ants, Tatum, those guys still need, like, they need to add some more to their resume. So you can't leap over to those guys yet. They're not ready just yet. KD, I've said before, people are nervous about those injuries having caught up to him. Now he's going to go to another team. So like, can we pass it to him? I don't know. You know, the only two that he won was with Steph, so you can't really go to him. So where do you go? Well, the logical choice is let's go to Steph and then see what happens with those other guys. And then Steph can pass it to the next one, right? They did the same. It's been forever, right? You know, Russell passed it to like Magic and Bird. I might be skipping a generation, but Magic and Bird passed it to Mike. Mike passed it to Kobe. Kobe passed it to Braun, right? Now who's Braun going to pass it to? He's the logical choice.
I want to know how we got here within a 2-year span, because it was just 2 years ago. He had missed the playoffs, right? His team missed the playoffs because he broke his hand and he was out the whole season. And this wasn't even not him being a top three player all time. This wasn't even a discussion. And then last year, where he leads the league in scoring and his team misses the playoffs, and this isn't a discussion. So now we go from him missing the playoffs last year to his team winning the NBA championship. And we go from he was still a great player to he has now passed LeBron. Well, this is the same guy who none of us talk about this nearly as much as we should, Tone. Tone, in the 75-year history of the NBA, there has been only one team in NBA history to be up 3-1 in a championship series and blow it. He was a part of that group. And with him being a part of that group, I'm having a difficult time with the logic that he is now the second best player all time. Now, we've had players have mishaps. We've absolutely had that. But I don't think that at any point during Steph Curry's career, even when he won the back-to-back, even when he won league MVP in back-to-back seasons, was I ever thinking he's better than James? I never felt that way. At no point did I ever feel like he was better than James. And James set the record straight in 2016, not even in 2015, when they were talking about him winning the finals MVP and they lost, when he was clearly the best player in that championship series and it wasn't a question. And then the next year when they played them again and they beat them, because like you just said, Steph Curry now has his team back. Well, James had his team back in the 15-16 season, and they come back and they win it. And now the conversation is dead. Not only is it dead, Tone, I'm going to be honest with you. Kevin Durant threw a monkey wrench in this whole thing, in this entire thing.
You know, and when I say stuff about Kevin Durant, it's so funny. We get so many people running to his defense, but man, he screwed up so much.
He threw a monkey wrench in this whole thing, because I've said this time and time again. If he stays in Oklahoma City, let's just say for the sake of argument, Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City and the Warriors see them in the Western Conference Championship and they get past them and they got to see Cleveland again in the finals. I think Cleveland smokes them after they beat them.
Draymond Green said as much.
I think they smoked. I don't think they beat them in the 17 finals. I think they smoked them, Tone. And now we're having a completely different conversation, not about the Warriors not being good enough. I'm talking about this team may not be together. We might have to break this unit up because we're not close now. Not only did we lose down 3-1, but then we get smoked the next year.
I think they still realize they need a piece. Because they won that one. So they knew they could win.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been
if that piece hadn't been KD, though, who would that piece have been, and would it have worked?
Not only that, Haley, that piece, that one, that winning it, that would have been 2 years ago. And it's obvious that we're going backwards. We already lost to these dudes being up 3-1. And then now we get into the finals and they smoke us the next year, which Draymond said he's not sure that they would have won. He's not sure.
I don't know that they smoke them.
I think they smoked them, Tone, in five games. I think they destroyed
After going seven the year before?
It was huge.
Not just, Tone, take out the logic of going seven. Think about being up, not only being up 3-1, coming into your building and winning game seven on your home floor. But not only winning game seven on your home floor against the best regular season team in NBA history. There is no doubt in my mind as a player that you guys can beat us ever again. There's no doubt in my mind as a player.
Unless they bought into the logic of, you know, Draymond was suspended, the momentum shift. I think, what was it, Bogut was hurt. Like, they could have mental gymnastics.
I try to buy into that logic, but the reason why I can't buy into it is simply because of one reason and one reason only. You guys had three games to win one, and two of those.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm with you on that, but I'm saying.
I try to buy into other things about this guy being hurt or that guy being hurt, because it's interesting that they mentioned that these guys were hurt. When nobody talks about the fact that, you know, was Steph Curry hurt? Was Klay Thompson hurt when they went 12 for 36 from the floor in game seven? Were these guys hurt when those two guys went 6 for 24 on the long ball? I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts if that 6 for 24 would have been 13 for 20 and they beat the Cavs, we wouldn't have heard a peep about those dudes being hurt. It wouldn't have been nothing. We wouldn't have heard nothing about that. So that's double talk to me. I never get involved in that.
You know what I always say, you play who's in front of you.
Right.
And it's, you know, like, you know, we talk about hurt, not to bring it to the next year, but like, you know, KD was hurt. Oh, Klay was hurt when they lost to Toronto. I'm like, Klay played up until game six. It's not like he was gone the whole series. But yeah, look, there's someone in the comments who mentioned Giannis, and yes, Giannis is another one that they could have passed it to. But I felt like Steph being the one that won. If Giannis had won this year, I think that's, you would have heard Giannis is the second best. Giannis has surpassed LeBron.
That's exactly where I was going, Tony. I'm glad you brought Giannis up, because that's where I was going next. When I saw that, you know, the top 75 players and Giannis is in the top 20, and I'm thinking to myself, what did Giannis do before last season with winning the finals and winning the MVP of the league? I'm sorry, winning the finals MVP and the NBA championship. Before that, what did he, because he had to have been close. There's no way that he went from like 47 to 18. So he had to have been close. So if that's the case, that has to be the same logic with Steph Curry. What has he done to go from, I don't know, let's say 14 to 2?
See, you're thinking of it as a sensible human being. And that's not what happens here. You know for a fact, it's, you could go from not even in the top 100 to top 10 because of, well, you know, the recency and, you know, just what you if you win back-to-back MVPs and a finals MVP and you win a chip, you automatically are in the top 25. And that's crazy. And that's crazy because it completely discredits everybody over the last 75 years. But that's what people do, right? Like, I just saw Jimmy Soto telling me he could beat Bob McAdoo one-on-one. Jimmy Soto averaged 1 point a game at Ohio State. Bob McAdoo averaged over 30 a game in the NBA. Like, Bob, people are just, they're crazy. People are crazy. Check out that on TikTok. All right.
Bob McAdoo
Bob McAdoo would destroy whoever. I don't even know who Jimmy Soto is until someone sent me the video. Absolutely, like, he's getting smoked.
So once again, when I think about Haley being that good, or being in that conversation to be the best player of all time, the second or the third best player, the criteria is, number one, longevity. Steph Curry was that guy for a lot of years. But when I think about James, Tone, I've said this to you countless times, there's a generation of kids that don't know the NBA Finals without LeBron James in it.
Well, now they do. But yes, there's...
Great. There's a generation of kids that don't know the NBA Finals without LeBron James in it. Forget him winning it; just him being in it.
No, there's guys who turned 20 in, like, I don't know, 2020, who at 10 years old, when they probably, like, people always say, oh, I started watching basketball when I was 2. Cool, but you don't really understand it. until, you know, like I said, you're not really paying attention, I don't think, as much. So from 10 years old to 20 years old, he was in it 9 times.
Think about that. That's the fifth grade to my sophomore year of college.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What that is. And not only that, right? He wasn't jumping teams. It wasn't like he was jumping teams and he was on this team and he was on that team and he was on this team. He was on this team and he was the catalyst everywhere he went. Every team he was on, he was the catalyst. It wasn't like he was Danny Green, who was in Toronto and then he was in with the Lakers and then he was with this other team. No, he was with San Antonio. No, he was with Miami 4 years, played out his contract in the NBA Finals. He's the catalyst. He goes to Cleveland in the NBA Finals every year. He's the catalyst. He goes to the Lakers 2 years later. He's the catalyst. So when I think about Steph Curry being that guy for that long, he hasn't been. So for him to be, like I said, number 15 or number 13.
But if you're 15, which is, let's be like honest, that's part of the age that's driving some of this narrative. If you're 15, you only know Steph. It's funny. LeBron has been around now so long that you know Steph, and you know Steph being in the finals for the, you know, what, eight times? So half of your life, Steph has been in the finals and won, I don't know how many he's won.
Four times in six years. They won it.
And again, people fall in love with certain things. And like you and me we're both 6'3". If we grew up watching Steph as, you know, 6'2", 6'3" guard, raining threes and winning MVPs, yeah, that'd probably be, and I've already said it last week, he's one of the most entertaining players I've ever seen. So you can see the kind of the love affair that can be. He's easy to like. Let me put it that way. He's really easy to like. Yes. And
yes, that's a fact.
And this is not knocking LeBron, but sometimes LeBron isn't easy to like. Steph's really easy to like. You know, he went to a small school. Then when, you know, I think it was Duke that came calling, he said, "Nah, you didn't want me then, so don't want me now. I'm going to stay at Davidson." He comes into the NBA. He's frail. His ankles, he won't hold up. Heck, Minnesota picks two other point guards in a row before him. Yeah. Right. And he sticks it out. He works hard. He stays on the same team. They do it the right way. They build it through the draft. They bring in the right pieces. Like, he's a great story to be like, and he's very likable. You know, he's got a nice smile. His wife's all involved. They're cute, kissing up in the hall.
And it helps.
It's made for Disney. I can see the love. You know, I see why.
It does help. And he looks like somebody that you would run into in the mall or somewhere. Yeah. Like, looks like
he's a normal guy.
I ran into Dell, and this comes from his dad. I ran into Dell at a gas station. He was heading up north to Muskoka, if you know this area. That's where all the people with money go to hang out at their cottages. And I ran into him at the gas station. I was like, "Oh shit, hey, Dell, what's going on? Hey, you know, what's up?" Da-da-da. Super nice. It was all cool. It was all love. Yeah. Paid for his gas. I paid for my gas. Said, "What's up?" We went on our separate ways. Like, that's the whole family. They're just chill like that, which, again, makes it easy to like him. Is he the top two player, top two player of all time?
No.
My son would say yes, but he's 8. He only knows Steph, right? Like, that's his guy. So
my niece is 13. She would be like, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Well, and what makes this concept so, I mean, if you've been an NBA fan for a long time, you probably way more than me. But, I mean, when you compare Steph, if you just watch his career, to MJ or LeBron, like, their dominance and just the way that they take over the court is so much different than Steph that I don't know.
Is that bad?
No, it's, right,
that's the thing.
It's,
yes, it's very different, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's worse.
Steph does what he can with the tools he was given versus MJ and LeBron, who are more physically able in a lot of ways. But it's a conversation. I mean, we'll have to keep our eyes open to, because I think that if Steph for some reason wins in another ring or two, that conversation is only going to get more serious. But
yes, it is.
Interesting question though. Before we move on, Mo, where were you?
Did the question come with a like or a super chat? Just out of curiosity?
It did not. Yeah, you guys get those likes and super chats.
7 likes.
So we don't miss your questions. But Mokilla, and this will be rapid fire, so just name them off, no discussion. Top 5 influencers influences of NBA all time. So, like, I think the top five most influential players. Yes. Jay, can you name them off just the top of your head, the ones that come to mind first?
Jordan, James, Curry, Shaq, Iverson.
What was the last one?
Iverson.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I thought you missed Iverson. Yeah, that's the list. I'd throw in probably like Earl Lloyd and his two partners, who were the first Black players ever drafted and played in the NBA. They're probably important. That was kind of influential. Yeah. But yeah, I think Iverson, Jordan, Curry. I think you got the list. I think you got it.
I like it. So moving into this video quickly, you had a little bit of TikTok beef. It hasn't been spoken yet, but Jay, you posted a video talking about the greatest teams built. I think you're kind of addressing like the dream teams, right?
No, I was addressing, we were talking about basically players, like how the game has been directed. And this guy came on and he talked about, it was four guys. It was Melo, Howard, Dominique Wilkins, and I'm missing somebody. Melo, Howard, Dominique Wilkins, and who am I missing? Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, and Scottie Pippen. So,
okay.
And the question was, of these four guys, who are you taking in the draft? And these guys were in their specific uniforms. So it was Melo from the Knicks, it was Howard in Orlando, it was Scottie Pippen with the Bulls, and it was Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta. And my logic was, at the end, when I talked to, before, I, after I talked about Dominique Wilkins and after I talked about Scottie Pippen, my logic at the end was, in the 75-year history of the NBA, some of the best teams that the NBA has ever seen have been built around the big man, when I was referring to Dwight Howard. Mm. So if you have an opportunity to take a big man, because big men change, the best players in NBA history are big guys. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. 25 of the first 27 league MVPs were big men. So the best players in NBA history are big guys. The last three league MVPs have been big guys. And when I think about the big man, you can't go wrong if you are able to get an elite big guy on your team who does a little bit of everything. So when I think about Joker isn't supremely athletic, but Joker's ability to pass, Joker's ability to rebound, his ability to rim protect. When I think about Embiid, his ability to rim protect, his ability, how dominant he is on the box, how he can shoot the long ball. Giannis is the best player in the game, and he's a big man. So if you have an opportunity to get a big guy over a smaller guy who can do those things, it's difficult to pass on him. And I stand on that, no question about it.
Influential. You had commented.
Well, that's a bit of a. So let me go back a step first to the influential guys, because I don't know that we said Magic and Bird, and we should, because they saved the NBA. So yes, let's give them their credit. They're absolutely on that list. So back to this. That's kind of a different spin on what I commented on, because what I heard was more about, you know, the best teams in league history were built around a big man.
Correct.
And that's where I kind of went, and even what you just said, Jay, about, you know, the big man and, you know, when you say, well, the first 25 of the 27 were, well, yeah, because let's be honest, as the NBA started, that was the, hey, get a big guy who's just bigger than everybody else and give it into him and let him go to work. And that has changed significantly, obviously, mm-hmm. in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I'll deal with both kind of points, because I think they're different. Like, so first, the greatest teams ever were built around big men. I think, you know, of course there's some, but, you know, you mentioned in your post about the Lakers. The Lakers were built around Kareem, but it wasn't until Magic got there and they changed their system to be a running style type of team that they were successful. Correct. Mm-hmm. So although Kareem was still the best player in those first few years, that style of play and Magic really is what put them over the top. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when we look at the Celtics, Well, it depends. What do you consider Bird? Because as good as Mikal and Parrish were, that was really Bird making that team successful. Obviously, Bill Russell and the Celtics before it. Like, if we go back, like I said, 50s, 60s, I'm with you. Then we get into the Bulls. Well, the Bulls didn't have a big man. Right. They had 18 fouls in, you know, I've said this before, in Wennington, Purdue, Longley, whichever ones you want to use. It was 18 fouls. It wasn't a big man. Yes, you had Hakeem, of course, that 2 years in the 90s. Then you get into 2000s, and yes, you got Shaq. And again, depends what you consider Duncan, but you have Kobe. Yeah, the Lakers, so it's Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, I guess it's Shaq's team. But then it's, I think, the big man being the centerpiece of a championship team starts to fade off, right? Correct. After that, after Shaq and the Lakers, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's somewhere in there, but it becomes fewer and far between, right, where the big man's the centerpiece of building a championship team. So I would say yes in the early days, not anymore. In terms of what you just said with the big man, that's harder to find. And I think that's part of the reason why people make mistakes. That's why Sam Bowie gets drafted over Jordan. That's why Greg Oden gets drafted over KD. That's why, like, there's tons of examples where a big man gets Darko Milicic gets drafted over Carmelo. A lot of it is, hey, let's go with the bigger guy, because you can't teach height. You can't make someone taller. Hey, I could teach him to shoot. I can help him play defense better. I can make him a better passer. I can make him a better ball handler. Those things can get better. I can't teach height. And in basketball, let's be honest, hey, if you're tall, you have an advantage, right? I think 1 in 10, if you're a 7 foot or taller, listen to how crazy this stat is. You have a 1 in 10 chance of making the NBA. 1 in 10. That's insane. When you think your chances as a regular person making it to the NBA, you have better odds of being struck by lightning twice. Mm-hmm. Right. But 1 in 10 if you're 7 foot or taller. So I get what you're saying there. But again, there's examples of the guard being the better player. So I think, yeah, you have to pick, if you have, you know, if they're equal talent, which is rare, you're going to take the bigger, you're going to take the taller guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think to the team perspective, I think that's really a thing that's changed. And it might come back. You and I talked about it. Is this the return of the big man? Because we've had Giannis and then Jokic, right? Back to back. Three MVPs have all been kind of 6'10 and bigger.
Yeah.
So now they're also very skilled. They do a lot of guard things. People, you know, look at Giannis and say, well, he can't really shoot. Yeah, but he can handle the ball. He can pass. He's played point, right? Jokic obviously is a unicorn. He's like a point center. So that, you know, it's a different kind of center. So it might be a renaissance. I don't know.
So to recap, so let's rewind back to the Lakers in the 80s. So Magic was the difference, and Magic was able to speed the game up.
Magic and the system.
Magic and the system. He was able to speed the game up. The problem is that they played against teams, great defensive teams, who were able to slow them down. And when those teams slowed them down and they got into a half-court offense, the offense was built around Jabbar.
That's when you need Kareem, 100%.
That entire unit was built around him. So, and then, like I said, they retooled and they took Jamal Wilkes out the lineup. They took Norm Nixon out the lineup, and they put James Worthy in the lineup, and they put Byron Scott in the lineup to speed the game back up. But when the game started to slow down, we dumping the ball into the big fella. Now,
Absolutely. Or Magic would go in and post up.
Right.
Like, either way, it would be, yes.
Absolutely.
It would be a center-centric half-court offense. Yes.
Now, when I think about those Boston Celtics teams, okay, Larry Bird did play point forward. He was every bit of 6'9". Not only was he every bit of 6'9", that entire unit was built around the best front court in NBA history. It was
If you include small forward, power forward, center, I agree.
It was built around the best front court in NBA history. That's exactly what that was. There is no in-between about that. Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale had a seven-year stretch where they averaged 14 shots a game, and Bird averaged 19. That offense was built entirely around their front court, those big guys. All right? So now we already talked about Olajuwon. We know who that guy is. We know what he did. We know what he did with that unit that was built around him from the minute he got there. Once Ralph Sampson got hurt, then they started to focus more on him. That entire that Laker unit, and I know how you feel about Kobe Bryant, because I love Kobe Bryant too, Tone. Let's make sure we're 100% clear. I love Kobe Bryant just as much as you do. With that being said,
no, I don't think anybody loves Kobe as much as I do. But
we did not know, right? We did not know who this high school kid was in 1996. We had no idea who he was. We knew who the Diesel was, though. We knew what 27 and 12 looked like, and that unit was built entirely around him. and what he did. And Kobe started to advance, which is, this is another topic for another day, Haley, when I hear people talk about, you know, the Miami Heat need this and the Boston Celtics need to trade that. The reason why it makes me nuts is the opposite reason why the Lakers were what they were, because they didn't trade away Kobe Bryant. They didn't trade away Shaquille O'Neal. You dudes are the deal. Get better. And they got better. So with that being said, that's another discussion for another day. But anyway, that unit was built entirely around Shaq. Not only was it built entirely around Shaq, the first year that they won the NBA championship in the 99-2000 season, you just talked about him, Tone. Steph Curry was the unanimous league MVP. Shaq was one vote short of being unanimous league MVP. Not only was he one vote short of being unanimous league MVP, he finished second that year in defensive player of the year. Fast forward to the next year, which is the 2000-2001 season, he finished second in the league in MVP votes. And they mocked everybody, powered by the diesel. Don't get me wrong. Kobe Bryant started to become what we all thought that he was going to become. He started to become that. But
there's a few of us, for the record, there's a few of us who knew who Kobe was going to be. Jerry West definitely knew who Kobe was going to be.
I was not one of those people. I'm not going
to
lie.
Even the Clippers who were just scared to draft him because he was out of high school, knew it was the best workout they'd ever seen.
Which is nuts to me. The best workout they ever seen. But you know what?
I'm not going to draft him yet. We're the Clippers. We don't want to look bad.
You know what, Haley? This is the best date that I've ever been on. But you know what? I don't want to go out with you again. I'm good. I think I'm straight.
They'll have to live with that one for good.
That's nuts to me. So anyway, we're talking about Shaq and that team that they just mopped everybody in the playoffs in 2001. And then they won it again in 2002. And that team was built around Shaq. Right. So then those San Antonio Spurs teams in 98, 99, when they won the NBA championship, and then they won it again in 2003, and then they won it again in 2005. Tone, that unit was built entirely around Tim Duncan, from Ginobili to Tony Parker to Steven Jackson. The staple was Tim Duncan. Now,
David Robinson, Tim Duncan, then Tim Duncan. Yeah.
Right. And then Tim Duncan. That unit. Now, what had the other team that I'm talking about is the Orlando Magic. That unit was built around Dwight Howard. Now, the Lakers were too much for Dwight Howard. The Lakers were absolutely too much for Dwight Howard. And since we're on the subject of the Lakers, as good as the Lakers were, Tone, them getting bounced in round one, two straight years, you just mentioned Magic was the difference. Until they got Pau Gasol, they were a first round exit. You got a big guy, now all of a sudden, I got an all-NBA big guy. Not only do I have an all-NBA big guy.
He needed a teammate, mind you. Absolutely. Knock him for playing with Smush.
I got it. Well, he was not just Smush, with Kwame Brown.
I like Lamar Odom, but that can't be your number two.
Right, Lamar Odom.
Their big man, Chris Mim. Come on.
Right. Once he got a legit big, he pushed them over the top. Now, then we get around 2009, 2010, 2011. So in the last decade or so, now the game starts to change. And the game starts to change in the aspect that guys are shooting the long ball more. Like Dirk Nowitzki, who is a big guy, and that Dallas unit is built around him, he's moving away from the basket a little bit further. And now this is the future of the game, but it's now the present. So guys like Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Durant, James, now the game is moving away from the big guy. Now it's moving back toward the big guy, who he's not – Shaq, he's not Olajuwon. Those guys are gone.
It's a different big guy. It's a different big guy.
Those guys, I equated to updated software. If you took Windows 99 and brought it into 2022, we'd be like, whatever, what is this software? This is nuts. But if you took it and you updated it, like what Giannis is, like what Embiid is, like what Joker is, now we're talking about a different big man. But these guys still do the same things that elite big guys do. They still rim protect. They still rebound. They still play on the box. They do things that big men, elite big guys do. So with that being said, when I said what I said about the greatest team, the best teams in NBA history have been built around the big guy, those were my examples. Not all great teams, but some of the best teams that the NBA has ever seen have been built around the big guy.
All right, that's fair. I want to give a shout out to Bama, who's joined the chat. All right, thank you. Thanks for joining.
So, Bama. So you're kind of on level ground. Makes sense. You agree?
Yeah. You know, I just
for the most part,
I hate when people, and not Jay didn't do this, but I hate when people speak in absolutes. And I feel like we've become that kind of it's either this extreme or that extreme. So no. I just wanted to put it out there. It's not every great team was built around a center.
I'd be nuts to say that every great team, that the best teams in NBA history are built around, not forget the Bulls, them dudes, the best teams that the NBA has ever seen. All of them, not some of them, but the best teams, all the great teams in NBA history have been built around a big man. I can't say that because that's not true.
All right.
But
that's not ridiculous. That's not ridiculous to
say. I can't say that. But what I can say is the best teams that the NBA has ever seen, in addition to the Warriors, in addition to the Bulls, because those guys are exceptions, in addition to the Warriors, in addition to the Heat, in addition to the Lakers, teams like that, have been built around the big guy.
Yeah, and I get it. And if you look at, you know, I hate, you know, I hate this when people don't look at history. Like they think life started, the day they turned 15. That drives me nuts. But if you look historically, yes, right? The first 30 years were dominated by the big man. And in the last 40 years, it's been starting to shift, but it looks like it's coming back, right? Like we just, again, it depends on what you consider these guys. Like it's not back to the basket. Get post up big men, right? It's guys now who can run, Forrest, run! And get up and down the court.
Of course, Tony. I like that too, by the way. Tony, we've been over this a million times. Shaq is gone. Olajuwon is gone. David Robinson is gone. Jabbar is gone. Hello to the modern day big man is Giannis. He's Joker. He's Embiid. He's Cat. He's Bam. He's that guy. He does more. But
look, most positions, right, do more, right? Like that, you know, people always ask me, you know, if you think Steph's a shooting guard, how come Jokic is a center? Because he still does center things. He just,
correct.
Everyone has to expand and do more, correct, than what they've ever done because the game is more fluid now, which, correct, is, which makes it, that's what makes it so fun to watch, by the way. But anyways, yeah. I'm just a fan of today's NBA, just so we're clear in case you didn't know.
Now we know. Now we're more fluent. But I do want to shift more to the modern day, to the guard.
It's not. Bottom line, Stone Cold says so.
Okay. So I want to shift into more of the guard modern era. And I'm going to ask you guys to do something a little bit different. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to talk with your heart and not your brain for this one, because this is more of a kind of how you feel about this. And I do want to talk about Ja and MJ, the whole nonsense that was going on there. And I think it did come out that that wasn't even a real quote, or it was kind of like misconstrued in a way. But I want to ask you guys, Fluent, what do you think about Ja's confidence, or is it cockiness? Kind of that whole, okay.
Sorry, I got asked in the chat which ones they were, so I need to.
Did you just get them?
No.
Oh, they've been there. Huh.
They've been there.
But yeah, Fluent, what do you think as far as these young guys?
You got
guys
me thinking with my heart, right? So now I'm thinking about. Sorry, I distract the whole show. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's Bama's fault. We should do it. We should do it. You can show your shoes sometime, but yeah, I guess just tell me kind of how you're feeling about these young guys coming up, and what has Ja done? Let's be honest. I was in a discussion, not a fight, but a discussion with some guy the other day about, he's diehard Ja fan, and I love Ja. I think Ja is incredible. I think he has so much potential, but he's, what, three seasons? Heading into his fourth season. Like, we can't make
Be careful. Be careful, because you're talking about my second favorite player in the NBA right now when you talk about Ja.
Did you know that, Haley?
We have to be real.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
He's a Jaw stan.
I am a Jaw. I will pay. Listen, I go to games where I get free tickets, right? And I'm fortunate enough, you know, I've said my brother works at ESPN. I've got people, right, that I know who get me to games. I'll pay to go watch Jaw.
He's a Jaw.
I'll pay my own money. And Jay knows this. And Jay, I'm cheap.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fiscally responsible.
He won't pay for gum.
I'm fiscally responsible, but sometimes for Ja, show me
the money. Yeah.
I'm showing the money. I'll pay to watch him play.
Do you think this is, I mean, kind of his behavior recently? And, you know, he's always, honestly, this is part of that generation as well. You have to be that way in a way, but.
I want him to talk like that. I want him to say, I'm cooking those guys. Now, do I believe it? That's a different conversation. You want me to talk with my heart? I love that cockiness. I think Jay will agree with me. Every game we ever went into, we thought we were the best players. We had the best team. And we were going to smoke all those dudes. And that's what you want. Heck, don't think, you know, Wilt, Kareem, Bird, Magic, Jordan, Kobe, if you ask them the same question, weren't going to say give you the exact same answer. They all would have said the exact same things. I'm smoking that dude. So I love that. Now, the next thing he has to do is back that up, keep working on his game, work on his jump shot, you know, get better defensively, back up that talk, right? Heck, now he wants to play goalie for Messi to shoot on him in the soccer field. Like, I love that. That's what makes him so entertaining. And for the most part, he's still young. What's he, two, three years in the league? Like, for the most part, he's backing it up so far. So, yeah, I like it. I think it makes it entertaining. We loved Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali to this day, I've told you all, my favorite and greatest boxer of all time, even though, right, he said to me, Mike Tyson would kill me, you know, in the ring. But I was like, no, you crazy. You kill him. What about Mike Tyson? I'm going to eat your kids. That's what that's what makes sports exciting, is those personalities and that confidence. So I love it. I love it. As long as you can back it up, I love it.
Haley, and when you are in this realm, the line between success and failure is paper thin, and it's held on your team or your confidence. That's what it's held on. How confident are you? And the minute you start chipping away at a guy's confidence, you start chipping away at who this guy is. And Ja is standing on that mound. Ja's not a big guy. Ja's like, what, 165, 170, like 6'2", something like that. He's not a big guy. Mm-hmm. But if he's going to talk that talk and back it up, there's no reason for me to fight it. No reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that if we fast forwarded or if we had to go between him and Jordan if him and Jordan went at it, I'm having a difficult time believing that he'd have any shot against Jordan. No question about that.
Well, you know, it's funny because you said to talk from the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
You're talking with your head.
That's true. That's true.
Right. But I am sticking with my heart. If I'm sticking with my heart, then he shouldn't even be out there. And I love him. Yeah. And I look at John, I look at how little he is, and I'm thinking to myself, he's smaller than Iverson. And
yeah. No, he's like 6'3", maybe a buck 80, mm-hmm. soaking wet.
Well, that's what he looks like, though. He don't look like he's that much bigger than Iverson. He looks like him and Iverson around the same size.
I think what happens is, if we're talking with our head, now, I think the first time, John gives him a little crossover, and it's like, and he's mm-hmm. by him. And then I think Jordan makes him shoot, because Jordan's scoring on him every time. Jordan's 6'6", 210, and ridiculously fast, ridiculously strong. People don't give him credit for that.
Right. Yeah.
That's with my head, though. That's with my head.
But with my heart, I love the confidence that he exhibits. I really dig that tone. I dig the fact that, you know, he's brash, he's young, and he's coming into the game knowing that, yo, can't none of y'all dudes see me, and can't none of you dudes today see me, and I think that the game is better today than it was back then, so that means I'll cook them dudes too. There's no way any of them dudes can see me neither. So I would have to say that I like Ja's confidence, and I like everything about what he's doing, no doubt about it.
All right,
everything.
Well, listen, we got 10 minutes left, and we're professionals, so when someone's computer blows up, we just keep going. So let's take some questions from the chat for our last 10 minutes, and maybe Haley comes back. Maybe she doesn't.
Sorry, guys, my computer
comes in. Oh, look at that.
So, yeah, I had to get my charger.
I gave you enough filler.
I was about to black out for a sec, but also I wanted to say this too on who Ja is, because this is only what the media portrays, but like, I think he shows his heart and like the good man he is inside with Desmond Bain, when he, you know, offered his trophy to him for most improved player, stuff like that. Like, Ja's a good kid and he has a really good heart, from what I can see. So I just wondered if there's like a level that's like, if there's a player that comes to mind that you're like, whoa, this is, you're off your rocker. Or if that's always welcome, that confidence is always welcome. It helps your team. It helps boost morale.
Well, you know? it wasn't welcome years ago because it wasn't proven. You know, winning was the most important thing. Winning is important today, but it's not the most important thing as it was back then. So if I was in my third year in the NBA, if I played in the NBA and I'm in my third year in the NBA and I'm saying in 1996, man, I would have destroyed Rick Barry. He couldn't do nothing with me. It was like, what? Are you kidding me? This is a finals MVP and you talking about you would have kicked his, you know what? No way. You haven't done anything in this league. Matter of fact, it would have gone around the league that now would have been a target on my back. Oh, you think you that good? And I would have definitely been put on my back. So, I mean, we live in a social media world where, you know, people say whatever they want and it's accepted because people want to be heard. That's the kind of society that we live in. So Ja, who lives off confidence, Ja is the one who lives off confidence and he lives on just being that dude. And he knows that this is entertainment more than anything. He knows that it's entertainment more than anything and it's working. That's the most important thing, that's working. He's getting people to pay attention to him. So.
Mm-hmm. The only difference between NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, and WWE is that now they admit that they're sports entertainment. All the other leagues are sports entertainment because go look, where does the money come from? It doesn't come from ticket sales. It doesn't come from you going to the game. It comes from TV deals and soon to be streaming deals. So what do you need to get people to watch? Entertainment. So there's got to be that piece. And if you don't, listen, why do you think baseball's suffering? Because it's slow and it's boring. So what are they doing? Oh, let me put in a pitch clock. Let me do something to speed up the game and make people want to watch. Mm-hmm. It's entertainment. So anyone that is mad at Ja for anything other than he's crazy, he would never beat Jordan, I'm okay with that. But if you're saying he's too brash, he's too cocky, I don't like it. Nah, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun.
Unless you're a Warriors fan, then there's points I'm like, I don't know about it.
Well, the good thing, Haley, about Ja when he running his mouth to the Warriors is when you lose, you gotta stop talking. Otherwise, you a clown.
No.
Yeah, but he's not. That's the problem.
See, I disagree with that. Don't stop talking. Be Tone. You. If you're when a talker,
you,
talk.
Oh my God, Tony. Don't, you are at you the court.
Talk when you're winning.
No, you're not a front runner. You know why you're not a front runner, Tone? Because when you at the court and we've beaten you for the third straight time and you still yapping. Get off
I'm
the court,
still,
Tone.
I'm still better than you. I'm coming again. Get off the next game.
You can yap all the just tell your story walk.
I'm not gonna stop. We beat them three times. I'll get you next time. I'll get you next time.
Oh my goodness.
I'll get you next
time. You're a clown now. And not only are you a clown, we look forward to continuously beating you. That's what we look forward to doing. We look forward to so the Warriors.
I'll be honest, I don't know that I've ever lost three games in a row, but okay.
I don't know if they pay him much attention, but it's great entertainment for Ja to talk the way he's talking about the Warriors. I think it's great for the league. I think it's because what it does is it builds. What's the word I'm looking for? It builds tension. That's what it builds tension more than anything. And not only does it build tension, it builds rivalries. So ratings are going to go up when the Warriors end up playing against Memphis. And Haley, you're going to be watching. I'm going to be watching. Tone, you're going to be watching.
Oh, yeah, I'm
absolutely.
Paying.
So
it's almost like a little rivalry. And it's been since last season when the Grizzlies knocked out the Warriors. Like every game has been so, you know, so much tension for sure.
I will say this because Bama asked in the chat, like, what was my favorite era? And I'll say there's two, because I love this era of basketball. I do. I really like, I wouldn't talk about it 10 times a week, you know, 15 times a day if I didn't love it. I do. But for like two reasons, it's for the 80s for me. One, because that's when I grew up. That's when I fell in love with basketball. My Lakers were dominant. But also, there were rivalries. The Lakers hated the Celtics. The Celtics hated, actually, everybody hated the Celtics, right? The Sixers, the Celtics, the Lakers. There were so many good rivalries. And, you know, there got to a point recently where, like, I get it. I'm old school. But I hated, like, everybody, hey, at the beginning of the game, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Yeah, let's go for drinks. Hey, I hated that. So Ja telling the Warriors, "Yo, I'm gonna come and get you." Like, yeah, I love that. I love it. It's I'm not saying I don't want fights and people like getting hurt. I don't want that, but I want there to be some animosity. I want the other guys to beat the like. I think that makes it more entertaining.
I got to read this by Nick Dawson. He said, "Fluent, everybody still hates the damn Celtics."
Exactly. And he's right. Everybody does still hate the Celtics. You're absolutely correct. Nick Dawson is a very smart guy, by the way.
Yeah, I like Nick.
Can you imagine Byron Scott in the middle of the 80s putting on a Celtic uniform?
Like, hell no.
Like, can you imagine Danny Ainge getting traded to the Lakers in the middle of the season? Like, what?
Never happened.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not. Matter of fact, I'll go play somewhere else before I go play for them.
Celtics, like Celtics and like the Yankees in baseball. You don't know the power of the dark side. Stay away. I don't want you. That even Shaq 20 years later, when he had a Celtics uniform on, I threw it in my mouth. I couldn't deal with it.
Well, that's like an interesting concept because as far as like all these trades recently and like people forcing trades as well, how do you think that's impacting the competition in the league? Like one season, this person's here and the next, I know trades have always obviously been a thing, but do you think that people forcing trades is changing kind of the direction of the league as well? Or are you both okay with it? Kind of off topic, but what do you feel as far as all that goes?
I don't like in the NBA specifically, I don't like it because your contract is guaranteed. So the team has to pay you. So I feel like they have a contract that they have to fulfill. You should fulfill that contract. So I don't like forcing your way. Now I get it. They can trade you whenever they want. So fair. But I feel like forcing trades, especially like I really didn't like what Paul George did. Like just sign an extension and then, oh, Kawhi's in LA. Oh, I'm going to go join him. And he forces his way out like the next year after he signs an extension. That I don't like. However, if you're at the end of your contract, free agent, hey, free agent, I've said this. If you're a free agent, go wherever the heck you want to go. I don't care. Because you're free. That you fought for that yeah. in the players with the players players association to get that. So I'm good. Go. Mm-hmm. You know, KD is KD what in his KD has what 4 years left on his contract?
Yeah.
It's like for that's a guy who already has the worst look in NBA history of joining the team that beat him that just won 73 games to now do it again. Again, hey, if he has the power to do it, good for him. Like the players for so long had no power. So I guess I can't blame him. Listen, you're talking to a guy who just switched jobs. Why did I switch jobs? Because they gave me a fancy new title and a bigger paycheck. I'm out. I said,
bingo.
Sorry, for the other dudes. Peace. You know, bingo. Thanks for the yacht. Thanks for the use of the yacht. We out.
Bingo.
I hope they don't see this. No ill will. But you know what I mean? It's just like you got it for me. You have to look out for yourself. I like the loyalty and people stay. You know, I love that Kobe stayed with a Laker his whole career. You know, Magic, you know, Dame's going to probably be a trailblazer. Poor guy, his whole career. Like there's guys that just, you know, it's good, but how can I blame someone for wanting to, I don't mean to bring up personal life, but because you put it on TikTok, Jay says, you know, a third generation project kid, a grandmother, mother, me grew up in the project, man, you know what? If you can get a better situation, go. Why wouldn't you do that? Whether it be sports or life, of course. You know, you do that for yourself.
I feel like on the one hand that it diminishes the competition aspect of it. You know, I want to go up against you. I'm a fan of guys like Jimmy Butler, who I don't want to play with Kawhi Leonard. I don't want to play with LeBron James. I want to go up against these guys because that's the way I test myself. However, winning is the most important thing. And I have to rely on these organizations to put, especially as a franchise player, to put the pieces around me to give me an opportunity to win. And if they're not doing that, I got to take matters into my own hands. Because what I'm not going to do is I'm not just going to rot away and be a guy who I could never get it done when there's so many different variables that come with that. So I'm a little torn with it. I understand that this is business. Tone, I've said this to you 1,000 times. Right now while I'm talking to you, there's a guy typing up his resume. You know why? Because he doesn't want to live in Phoenix anymore. That's it.
Yeah.
For that reason right there.
No, but
right
see, now. That's is okay because he knows his worth. And they're like, we're not paying you that. all right, then I'm out. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. What I'm not okay with, and again, I guess it seems like I'm picking on Durant, but Durant went to Brooklyn. He said, hey, me and this guy want to team up together. We're coming to you. And they said, okay, we want this guy as our coach. Okay, you got it. Hey, Harden's available. Make the trade. Get him over here, even though we're going to give up way too much and get him. Cool, we did that. He's not happy here. Okay, get him out of here. You know, so it's just like, it's not like James in Cleveland where let me just see what, you know, players I can recycle and throw together and see if you can make it work. And hey, it worked. What are you mad about? I think they've done what they, you know, set out to do for him. So I'm a little, you know, so again, I'm like you, I'm torn. I get what they're doing from one side. At the other side, I'm like, come on, they're trying. They are trying.
Well, I think the KD situation is completely different, Tone, simply because everything you and Kyrie Irving asked for, we gave it to you. Not some things or most things. Everything you asked for, we gave it to you. So in the process of this thing not working because of you, whether you broke down or you underperformed or anything like that, this is not on us. This is on you. And with that being said, it's just a bad look from a basketball standpoint. From a business standpoint, I understand it because yeah. I've said this to you before, Tone. I think that Sean Marks is over Irv, and I think that he's finished with Irv. And I think the KD is looking at this situation going, I didn't sign up for this. So if he's gone, then I'm gone.
Yeah. No, I could see that too. You know, you brought up Jimmy Butler before, and I want to, you know, go back. Like, he's that old school kind of guy. Like, I just spoke about Jaws, you know, confidence and whatever. Mm-hmm. I love the Jimmy Butler. PJ Tucker signed with the Sixers, Philly. I think. Mm-hmm. And what'd he say? F you, Embiid, F you, Tucker. Like, we're coming to catch you. I like that. Mm-hmm. And you know how I feel about superstars. There's not a lot. So, they should be spread out. Every team should have one superstar or one star. Yeah. And, you know, why do we love the NFL? Like, as much as we talk a lot of NBA, we love the NFL. Why do we love the NFL? Because pretty much every year, your team has a shot. You can go from a 4-12 mm-hmm. Bengals team to the Super Bowl the next year. Rarely do you see that in the NBA. If you think about it, again, recent history. In the 80s, it was Celtics and Lakers, I think, and Sixers, right? They were the only three teams that won a championship. In the 90s, it was, and then the Pistons, I guess. Pistons kind of bridged that gap. And then it was the Bulls and the Rockets. And in the 2000s, it was like Lakers, Spurs. Then it was LeBron or the Warriors, because I'll give him heat caps. I'll just call the LeBrons. The LeBrons. He's a team on himself. If that doesn't make him one of the greatest of all time, I don't know what does. Okay, the LeBrons and the Warriors. Like, there's not, you know, okay, you throw Toronto in there one year. But it's just like, you know, there's not as much of that parity in the league. And I think part of that is because, you know, either in the old days, they just got the talent to go to one place or they drafted really well. And now it's that guys are teaming up. I'd rather see Curry on one team. And I know there's LeBron on another team, KD on another team, Kawhi on another team, Jokic on another. I think that's better for basketball, but I'm rambling. I'll stop.
Balance is key and helps the competition stay healthy. I do see everyone mentioning in the comments about the play-in. So we'll get into this real quick before, mm-hmm. you know, we wrap up and go into some questions. But the play-in game. Okay, so we saw it. There was a reason for it when it initially, you know, was integrated into the league. And now it's kind of seems like it's becoming more of a permanent thing. Jay, how do you feel about the play-in game? How do you think it... I guess affects the teams that worked so hard, got a good record, got to the seed that they are, and now have to play these seeds that didn't play enough games to initially win and get into the playoffs. Do you think it's something that should stick around?
No, I do not. I'm not a fan of the play-in tournament at all. I think we already have a play-in tournament. It's 82 games. If you can't get into the playoffs after 82 games, you are not a playoff team. The New Orleans Pelicans, 10 games under 500. And they made the playoffs. San Antonio Spurs were in the play-in tournament. They were 14 games under 500. That is not a playoff team. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference, all 10 of those teams were above 500. Every last one of those teams were above 500. When I look at that San Antonio Spurs team, I look at a team that wasn't very good. Despite injury, even in addition to injuries, just like New Orleans, in addition to injuries, they started the season, they lost 12 of their first 13 games. That's not a playoff team. And because it's not a playoff team, I don't think we should be rewarding these teams at the end of the season because they ended up with in the 10th spot and they're a game ahead of the 11th place team by four. They're ahead of the 11th place team by one or two games that we could possibly get them into the playoffs. Now, I understand that it's a money grab. Absolutely. It's going to be good for ratings. It's going to be good for TV, sure. But I think it waters down what the playoffs are about. And you got a team like New Orleans getting into the playoffs and taking a Phoenix team to six games and making them look like they're viable. And now we got this New Orleans team coming in this season when they're adding Zion to the mix. You know, they might be a top five seed in the West. Are they? Well, let's find out if they're going to be that good. Were they last year? No, they were not. Absolutely not. I'm not a fan of the play-in tournament at all.
Okay. And Fluent, before you go in, let us know your take. Adam Jones had an interesting point. He said the Pelicans are a great example of why the play-in tournament is great. They made a trade for CJ and they got so much better. And they even put up a good challenge against the Suns. So in that aspect, I agree with him. I think that was really interesting. If you make, you know, a trade later on in the season,
right?
Do you deserve that chance to then possibly win, or should you wait till the following season?
I'm glad you mentioned that because they did make that trade, and CJ was averaging 19 a game, and in the process of averaging 19 a game, they still ended up 14 games under 500. That's not a playoff team. That is not a playoff team. That is a team that's at the lower half of the Western Conference. And next year, you try it again. Because like I said, and I stand on this, we already have a play-in tournament. 82 games. If you can't get in the playoffs after 82 games, you are not a playoff team.
When you start to blur the lines between the regular season and the playoffs, you're asking for trouble. If we go back throughout history, right, just think about it. We talk about teams like, oh, well, LeBron James didn't face any competition. Those teams he was playing in the first round were below 500. Oh, yeah, sure, Jordan made the playoffs, you know, his first whatever many years in the league, but his team was below 500 those first 3 years. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs. How did we go from a team that's below 500 shouldn't even be in the playoffs to, I remember there was a time, I forget the year, Jay probably will remember it because that's how he is, you know, where I think the last place team, the eighth place team in the West had like 50 wins and you had like a team or two in the East that was below 500. I don't know what you remember.
2000 actually was the what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about the Phoenix Suns team that they had 45 wins and they were out of the playoffs. That Golden State Warriors team, and when Steph first made the playoffs, they won 51 games and they were the eighth seed.
There you go. So I told you he would know. Easy E, give me any suggestions for the soundboard. I am new to it, so any suggestions will greatly be greatly appreciated. That being said, so now what we're saying is the 82 games, well, you know, it's already too many games, right? We already agree it's too many games. People are load managing. They're taking games off because it's too many games. It's also too many games because we're like, oh, the games are not valued as much, right? When you look, again, to compare it to the NFL, before it was 17, now it's six. Before it was 17, excuse me, it was 16. Every game mattered. You knew, like, every win matters because it's going to come down to, you know, one win, one tiebreaker, one thing. So 80 games already too much. So you already have too much. And now you're going to say, but those 82 games, well, they don't actually really matter because as long as you're within the top 10, why not just have everybody make it to the playoffs then and just say, hey, we're going to play these 82 games for nothing, just your seeding. And then all six or 15, I guess, let's add a couple teams. Let's add Seattle back. Let's add, I don't know, Vegas gets a team. So now we've got 16 on either side. Now we'll just do a sweet 16 down to a winner and then the East winner will play the West. Cool. That's what they're going to. Like, don't be fooled. It's a 10-team playoff. It's going to be a 12. It's going to be a 14. It's going to be a 16. So now, okay. Now, I'm not saying this is good, but are they going to go to a 60-game season and then do like this full everybody? Like, where does it stop? We want the NCAA tournament so popular that that's what we're going to try to mimic? No, you're the pros. You do it differently. You play 82 games so that tells you who should be in the playoffs. I hate it. I hated it even in the bubble. I hated it last year. I hated it this year. I hate the play-in. I think there's no place for it because like Jay said, if you got teams 10 games, I don't care that they made it competitive with Phoenix. You know why? Because they had nothing to play for because they knew they had no business being there. So they played loose and free. Cool. You didn't belong in the playoffs. You didn't belong in the playoffs, so you shouldn't be in the playoffs. That's it.
I stand on that, Haley. You got 82 games. If you have 82 games, if you can't make
the playoffs. Broadcaster Pro. Sorry. Yes,
if you can't make the playoffs in 82 games, you are not a playoff team. Well, if somebody got hurt, that's part of the game. Well, we made a trade in season, and we ended up going on a run, but we still missed the playoffs. But that's what the play-in tournament was. Well, if the by the time we got to the end of the season, that trade that you made, if it didn't work out, then you'll try again next year. That's what the 82 games is for. We're not going to add two more games so you as the 10th place team could go, well, we still have an opportunity to make the playoffs, and then go on a run and you end up in the Western Conference Finals. Meanwhile, this team that's in seventh place that missed out on the sixth spot by two games now has to play themselves into the playoffs. No,
I think that's just think about it. So you've got it's game 82. It's game 82. You need to beat the team. You're in eighth. You're playing the team in ninth. You need that win to get in. But now you're saying, it doesn't matter because I'm just going to play them tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then again, then there's the you already had the suspense. You're eliminating one suspenseful game to create another one. And again, it's ticket sale. You know what else it does that people don't talk about that again is near and dear to my heart? You guys know I love stats. Do you know what those playing game stats, where they go? They go in other. So now you got regular season, play in or other, and then playoff stats. I don't need another box. I got enough stats. I don't need another category.
And Tone, don't leave 100%. Out the fact that as the seventh seed, now I got to play myself into the tournament, and the eighth seed.
I've worked
all year to get in. I got to play the seventh seed as the eighth seed just to stay alive. If I lose to them, I could be out.
Wasn't there a crazy one this year where the seventh seed was like 5, 6, 8 games ahead of the eighth seed? And you got to play again?
Yes.
I've just proven myself 82 times. I'm not doing it again. The money grab, there's other ways to get money for the play-in tournament. And now someone said in the chat too, a mid-season tournament. Just stop. Stop it. You know what you should do? You want a tournament? You should do like in European soccer, all the teams that aren't in the top eight. So the other, seven that don't make it into the playoffs, they should play to see that they still get to play in the NBA next season. Otherwise they get relegated to the B league. You want a tournament? Do that tournament.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good idea. Well, and
or make them play a tournament for the first, make them play a tournament for how many balls they get in the lottery. Like there's so many tournaments you can do with those losers. Go have fun. Go nuts.
Yeah. But out of this realm, this is the real deal.
Kelly, what you're doing is you're watering it down. That's what you're doing when you got stuff like a team like the San Antonio Spurs. What happens if the San Antonio Spurs end up making the playoffs? And not only do they make the playoffs, they win a first round playoff series, being 14 games under 500. How do we justify that?
You wait. There's going to be a ninth or 10th seed. And everyone's saying, they're not going to win a championship. Wait. There's going to be a 9 or 10 seed that makes it into 8, and maybe they don't win, but they knock out the number 1 seed. A fluke.
Well,
or whatever.
How close
they
were the Pelicans to that? They were so close.
They go on
that.
A run, and it's gonna, and you watch, it's gonna kill ratings. It's gonna make so much.
The thing I think about is the Syracuse Orange Men. I think it was the last time they went to the Final Four. Just so you know, Tony, they were 2 games under 500 in the ACC, and they ended up in the tournament, and they ended up going to the Final Four. That was not an NCAA tournament team. It wasn't. They had no business in the tournament. None. You aren't even at the top half of your league. Now you're telling me that you're one of the best teams in the country? I don't think so.
And for everyone saying it adds suspense or whatever, it does. I get it. But it diminishes that one game that adds suspense. Let me see who said it so I can humble. It adds more suspense and unpredictability. You're right, it does, but it diminishes the other 82 games. So again, we're fighting two battles, and those two battles are contradicting themselves, because one battle is we want our players to play in the regular season, right? Everyone's complaining when, I took little Johnny to the game. It costs, $1,000 for, the 4 tickets for our family. And, we're not going to eat this month, but, we're going to get to see Ja. Oh, Ja's resting. Oh,
Yeah, that's a main reason. I think it's really
well now. Well, of course, now Ja's going to rest more. Curry's going to rest more. Whoever, yeah. LeBron's going to rest more. AD's, well, he's going to be hurt, but Kawhi's going to rest more. No, did you catch that? AD's going to be hurt. Kawhi's going to rest more because, well, the 82 games don't mean as much anymore. So, yes, you're adding one suspenseful, unpredictable game at the expense of 82. So, I don't
know. At the expense of their health and yeah. their body.
As the Shark Tank guys would say, and for that reason, I'm out.
I'm out.
Boom. So that's pretty much JD, everything.
Is JD, sorry to interrupt you again, Haley. I don't know if it's JD or Shaq. I don't even know who's running the show today. Whoever it is, I don't know if you can put up, maybe we should get a poll as we do rapid fire. Play in, yes. Play in, no. And yes, King 90, we're doing rapid fire right now. Sorry, Haley, go ahead.
Yeah, definitely drop your questions. I'll ask you this one first, Jay. where did that go? Boom, boom. Are Lakers going to make it the playoffs this year? Yes or no?
Yes, they are. I think they're going to be a top six seed.
Okay. Influence.
Don't you dare ask me that question. You know the damn answer.
Yeah.
Lakers are winning the chip.
Top five. It's five or six, like Jay, or do you think higher?
Number one.
Oh.
Straight to the NBA Finals.
Is Tony Homer? Is he?
Okay, that's my heart. You asked for. Oh, sorry. My head. My head would be this. You know, here's the. You know, this is an obvious answer. If they're healthy, they're in the playoffs. They're a top five seed, top four seed. They're hosting a home game. If AD is, you know, day-to-day Davis and LeBron plays 50 games and Russell Westbrook is, you know, put on a short leash, then, and Darvin Ham, to his credit, if that's the roster they roll with, has said, we're going to let him run. If they don't.
Okay. Rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid. Oh, sorry. I'm done.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Because you can talk all day. And JD said, Fluent not knowing who's running the show is fire, which is true. But I think it's JD, but we'll see.
We got so many goats, it doesn't matter.
Okay, next question, Fluent. We'll start with you. How big is the gap between Kat and AD, and who would you rather have? Kind of
when healthy, the gap is big, and I'd rather have AD. However, because I say availability is your best ability, I'd go with Kat because I know he's going to give me, you know, he's going to be there. He's going to give me more games. So I take the drop in his play because I know that he's going to be there.
Because of injury, the gap has shortened, but when AD is healthy, the gap is not close.
Yeah. There's a point where he was a top five player in the league. So.
And just rapid fire for JD. You had said something about you beating someone in a game, so I just assume it was Shaq because I know you couldn't beat anybody in a game. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. What was the next question? Warriors or the field? Don't forget they get Wiseman back.
I like the Warriors, man. And the reason why is because they're getting their big guy back. Kuminga's going to be better. Poole. Yeah, he's going to be better. So I think the Warriors, the road to the NBA championship goes through San Francisco. No doubt about it.
Okay.
I'm kind of torn.
Be the man! You got to beat the man!
So typically I would say the Warriors, but I got 29 other teams. It's super hard to go back to back. So I'll take the other 29. I'll go with the field.
Before we go to the next one, everybody go like this video really quickly. Get those likes up before we end the show. It always helps. Okay, next one. Fluent, Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Okay.
Ronaldo. Okay. And quick, and the double back, the Warriors or the field. I think the road to the NBA championship goes through the Warriors because they're the champs, but I think Milwaukee's winning the NBA championship next year.
So now you're with me. You're on the field. I convinced you. Now
I'm not the field. I'm not with the field. The field is anybody.
You're either the Warriors or the field.
The field is anybody else. Milwaukee's winning the NBA championship.
Therefore, it's anybody else. So the field.
That was my predictions. I said Dubs and Milwaukee next season. Yeah. But we shall see. Luka or Ja, Jay?
Luka.
Okay.
What? Well, my heart.
We already know. Man.
Come on, do we establish this? My head says Luka.
That's crazy to me. Okay.
It is. It's Luka, but I'd rather watch Ja.
Okay. King 90 said Van Vliet or Brunson?
Van Vliet. Come on, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
champion.
You're going to be disappointed, Knicks fans. You're going to be disappointed.
No. Okay. And then was there one more? Okay, Jay, a prime John Wall or current John Morant?
John Wall. Prime John Wall. One of the most athletic guys in the league. He had a five-year stretch where he went almost 20-10. Absolutely.
I think a better question would have been a prime John Morant or the current John Wall. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Fluent?
I'm taking John Morant over John Wall. I'm taking John Morant over Allen Iverson. I'm taking Ja every day over any little guard.
Okay. Fluent Ant or Ja?
Ho, 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 ho. Hang on. Whoa. Wait a second. Okay. Can we hit the rewind button on the tape, please? Yeah. Wait, what?
Which one? No, okay. You have said this to you before, Jay, so I don't know why. I believe Ja will get to the point that because JD will clip this funny and make me look a certain way. But no, I think Ja, when he gets to his prime, at his best, I think we'll have a conversation, him or Allen Iverson. Right now, of course, it's Allen Iverson, of course. But I think Ja has the potential to be at that, if not a little bit better. I think he has
a league MVP, throwing a team on his back, taking him to the NBA finals.
Yeah, I think he has that potential. I think he has that potential, yeah. I also think he's in a position right now where he's on a good young team that has his back defensively. That he could be that MVP player on a really good team that goes to the final. So, okay, it won't be Allen Iverson carrying that, you know, sack of whatever he carried the Sixers to the finals. Okay, he won't be that. But I think in his prime, he has the potential to be as good. I think we'll have that conversation. He won't be as influential. He won't be as influential as Allen Iverson. But I think he has the talent to be as good as Allen Iverson as a player.
Just make sure you remember, Tone, that team was, I think they were 20-2 with him out the lineup. So I'm having a difficult time.
No, I know. He's going to have a better – that's going to be the tough part. He's going to have a better team. But I think the Philadelphia 76ers are not rolling
without Allen Iverson in the lineup.
I haven't been shy about saying I really like the trajectory of Ja's career. I am a big fan.
Okay.
I did not even hear you say that, so thank you, Jay. Well, real quick, this is my question. Do you think Ja will still be on the Grizzlies in 3 seasons? Yes or no?
Sorry, I'm laughing because 4KT Justin is like, it's because AI snatched my ankles. He still has my fucking ankles.
Oh, my God.
You're damn right, I'm bitter.
We need a t-shirt for you.
AI has my ankles. I think we can come up with that. If you want some, it's good to actually point there, Haley. If you want some That's Not Ridiculous, Now You're More Fluent types of shirts, you can always go to fluentchill.myshopify.com and order yours today.
Check us out.
My last question. Will Ja be on the Grizzlies in 3 seasons? Yes or no?
Yes. They already extended them. The problem that is going on in Memphis is that they're going to have to pay everybody, and they're not going to be able to pay everybody. And that's where it's going to get tricky for them.
Well, and looking at their record, I mean, this is stupid to say when people are like, the Grizzlies are better without Ja. I don't think that's true necessarily. I mean, we'll see. But I just am curious. I didn't know about his extension. Is that 3 or 4 years? Or five? Cool. He signed a huge deal.
Yes, Ja is still there. Is Memphis the type of team that will re-sign all those guys and go deep into the luxury? Probably not. So maybe he will have a terrible team that he can carry. You never know.
Okay, I'll do two more questions and then we'll wrap it up for today. Jay, Lonzo for most improved player next year.
Lonzo for most improved player next year. My vote still goes to Darius Garland.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. Yeah. Fluent.
Lonzo, no. If I'm taking Lonzo or the field, I'm taking the field. Yeah. You're going to ask me way too early who my pick is. I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And last question. Did the Knicks overpay for Brunson Fluent?
Yes.
Yes.
It's rapid fire, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
that you feel free to
like I said, I think he benefit. Look, he played, he deserved it. You're worth whatever someone will pay you. I'm a huge proponent of that. I think they overpaid him. I think he's not going to be as good. And I know Jay's higher on RJ Barrett than I am. He's not going to be as good next to RJ Barrett and Julius Randle as he was next to Luka. Luka pulls more of that attention. So he's not going to be that good. He's not going to be as good as he was on the Mavericks. I'll say it that way.
To give you an idea, Haley, and to end this, the Dallas Mavericks didn't even take a meeting with him. They just, when he signed that offer sheet with the Knicks, like, we good.
It's a pretty big indication, I guess.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows what will happen? I'm excited for next season. Again, apologies to you guys. I know we keep saying we'll do more NFL content, but there's just been so much going on that we've kind of strayed from that. So definitely on Thursday, check back in. We'll get into some more of that. But for now, we'll call it quits for today. Make sure to go hit that like button. We'd really do appreciate it. And make sure to comment under the YouTube video if you have any ideas for next week, and we can definitely touch on that subject. But for now, Jay,
take it.
It's the only thing we understand. I'ma stand till my jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on the slide. I don't never